Okay, thank you for the nice introduction, and again, also thank you for coming to this session. I'll be talking about organ phosphates and carbamates and their effects on vision. I have no relationship to disclose in terms of the commercial interests relevant to this presentation. I'd like to thank National Institute of Child Health and Human Development for the partially funding this project. Myopia and astigmatism are common, and actually I have both of them from since my childhood. Nearsightedness is on rise in this country, and their cause, near work is known to cause myopia, and it's common in high SES demographic groups. This is known for astigmatism in terms of causal factors. Both of these have been some research on genetic factors on this development of these conditions. One thing to note is astigmatism tend to co-occur with myopia. And actually, astigmatism co-occur with the opposite condition of myopia, which is hyperopia or farsightedness. Why am I looking into organ phosphates and vision? Actually, there is a condition called a Sakai disease, which was reported from a rural area of Japan in 1950s and 60s. Increased prevalence of myopia and astigmatism were found in some rural areas of Japan, and some experimental and epidemiological investigations were conducted, and based on which some researchers suspected organ phosphate as a causal factor for this incidence. The existence of this condition, Sakai disease, was controversial, but the literature was discovered by UCEPA in early 90s, and they found that there is some credible evidence that this condition existed and what could have been caused by organ phosphates. There's no recent epidemiological investigations. But as many of you probably know, that there have been interest in this area, and there have many, quite a few research done in the past 15 or 20 years using biomarkers of organ phosphate exposure and looking into effects of health effects, developmental cognitive function, and so forth. Organ phosphates is a class of chemical, and along with carbamate, another class of chemicals, they inhibit neuronal chlorine esterase. That's how these chemicals exert toxic effects on insects, which is target pest of the these chemicals. But it might affect human through exposure of diet, which is, residues from agricultural use, and also potentially indoor use of some organ phosphates. Chlorpyrifos and diazinones used to be used in the indoor use for pest control purposes, but their use has been phased out in 2000 and 2004, respectively. So given this background, the aim of this study was to investigate association between urinary biomarkers of exposure to chlorine esterase inhibitors and refractive error, myopia, and astigmatism. Design of the study is cross-sectional and used National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, NHANES, data from its 1999 to 2004 surveys. There have been three survey periods for this, these years. And this survey collects data from nationally representative sample of non-institutionalized individuals. Vision data were available for people aged 12 and over, and urinary metabolite data for people with age 6 and older, but metabolite data were available for only sub-sample, about one-third of the samples. And not all, all of the metabolites were measured for three survey periods. There are some missing data. Variables for this study, outcome variables were measured based on objective reflection. This is the kind of eye exam you go to eye doctor to make your prescription eyeglasses, the contact lens, so in which you they try different kind of lenses to see what kind of correction would achieve the best results. And so myopia and astigmatism were numerically were determined using these cutoffs for the data from these exams. Exposure variables are log-transformed urinary metabolites. There are two categories. One is unspecific metabolites. I will show a list of these in the next slide. Oh, by the way, I have some handouts in this chair and in the back too, if you like, and will be also uploaded to the APHA site. And there are specific metabolites include metabolites of malathion, chlorpyrifos, and parathion. Confounders and covariates identified include log urine creatinine, fasting time, family income, measures of walking difficulty, which is a correlate of time spent indoor or near work. So these are considered to be potential confounders. So in this, I didn't show well, but this one slide I wanted to show what these unspecific metabolites. One of them is dimethyl phosphate, and one of the oxygen atom of this one is replaced with sulfur molecule and becomes dithiophosphate, and two of the oxygen replaced with sulfur and becomes dithio. And there's a corresponding three metabolites for diethyl kind of organophosphates, phosphate metabolites. And there are many, at least 27 organophosphates, commercial formulation of organophosphates can produce these metabolites. One of them is chlorpyrifos, and the other I'll talk about more is malathion. And there are chlorpyrifos specific metabolites was also measured, and that could be produced either from chlorpyrifos or chlorpyrifos methyl. Statistical analysis was done with using Stata 12 survey suite for complex survey data, which takes care of proper weighting and variance estimation. Myopia analysis is based on used multinomial regression for three outcome status variable, myopia, hyopia, and NIDA. Astigmatism analysis used logistic regression because this is yes or no. Having astigmatism or no. Also, linear regression was performed for spherical error as a continuous measure of the astigmatism. This shows a sort of overview of the exposure data. As you can see, many of the metabolites had a fairly high proportion of measurements under detection limits. These are the basically proportion of non-detects, and some of them have 100 non-detects, which is in a way good news because these are potentially toxic. But on the other hand, I can't use data for this because everything is under detection limit, there's no variation. So I have to resort to use some of the data from the survey period where there was at least 10% detects, meaning this number is less than 90%. Here's some more further summary of the, it's a busy slide, but just to show that most of the, some of the data were available about 5,000 individuals. Some are only from 1,500 because not all these are measured of all survey periods. And one thing to note is, which I would like you to focus on, point two, is that interquartile range is about tenfold. So there are quite a variation in the level. And also, data are not shown here, but these tend to correlate positively. Here's some summary of the prevalence of the outcome. And using the entire data available for vision, you can see the myopia prevalence tend to decrease over age, and hyperopia, farsightedness prevalence increases with age. And I'm in somewhere here and started, I think, having this because it's getting discarded. My eyeglasses are prescribed for myopia, but I'm moving out of it and moving towards hyperopia or sometimes presbyopia, as you know, old people have hard time seeing something near. Astigmatism also increases with age. And these numbers, as you can see, it's fairly common. And these numbers correspond well with the reported number for the same time period, I mean, published data. This is for the vision data with one of the metabolites. So this is based for about 5,000 people, basically showing the similar trend. And this is smaller sample for a particular metabolite for malathione. Basically similar trend, except because some numbers get small and some age groups only have one individual. But other than that, basically what this is showing that my sample was somewhat representative of the entire people with vision data. So now I'm moving towards the results of the association. In the next slide, I will show results for unadjusted model, each with one metabolite as a single predictor, and partially adjusted model, in which some other covariates are added to each model, and fully adjusted model, there's just one model including everything. So as you can see, as you go from unadjusted to partially adjusted, there are some trends. Some metabolites show positive associations. The only exception is the chlorpyrifos, which shows negative association. As I explained, these metabolites are positive. Levels are positively correlated. So after some exploration, I started to see that the chlorpyrifos and the malathione are actually kind of driving factor. Thanks. And association gets stronger with adjustment for each other, and independent association for chlorpyrifos and malathione in the opposite direction. And this was somewhat surprising, but I found that there's actually an animal experiment report on suppression of myopia by dosing chlorpyrifos. So it's actually consistent with some animal results. Here is astigmatism result, which is similar, a little different, but as you try to reduce the model, it basically came out with the same results. Chlorpyrifos and malathione are positive, related to outcome, but in the opposite direction. So this is what I saw. Now, how do we interpret it? One interpretation is that current OP exposure that was measured was related to the past, which was causally related to the current vision. Alternative interpretation is that the current vision status is related to past vision status. And actually, myopia, these could have been caused by a near work, which led to decreased mobility and more time spent indoor, which could be also caused by near work. And then, so basically, it could have been a reverse causality. But there are counter-arguments for reverse causality, meaning negative association with chlorpyrifos would happen to be explained by this. And indoor exposure would be small. Lower than dietary exposure for malathione. Malathione myopia association persisted after adjustment for walking. Some discussions. This is cross-sectional design, so temporality is ambiguous. The collineal, because the collineal, there's some possibility that there might maybe some other urinary metabolites that were actually to culprit. Conclusion, glutathione urinary metabolites was positively associated with current myopia and astigmatism, and chlorpyrifos was negatively associated with these, but that chlorpyrifos results was concordant with some animal experiment. And these results need to be confirmed with a longitudinal study. But anyways, these results are evidence for adverse effects of low-level exposure to organophosphates. And we need shows some need for caution for using organophosphates for other uses such as bed bug control. Thank you very much.
Thank you.